26, we'll continue in the book of Matthew. I actually contemplated switching our Galatians message tonight to this morning, and I think this message is for everyone as well. Tonight's message is that we would glory only in the cross of Christ, and why would we do that? Why would we do that? I want to show you in the scriptures, I want you to never be the same. I think it actually has a part in the message this morning, but tonight I'm excited about that, and I want you to leave this morning in all of the goodness of God and His long-suffering and patience, even when we don't do what's right. And then tonight, it's that we would be focused. We'd be focused on the cross, and that we would glory in the cross. We would rejoice in the cross. We would boast in the cross and all that that means. But I'm here to preach this morning's message, but I'm excited about both of them. Let's read Matthew chapter 26. I'm actually going to go through verse 41, and really, I'm going to do some overlap. So I'm not going to cover a few things in this section, but I'll cover that next week. But I do want us to get through verse 41. The title of the message this morning, The Path to Being Offended by Christ. The Path to Being Offended by Christ. I'm going to read something for you. I thought it was the best description of what it means, because Christ will tell them in this passage, all you will be offended because of me tonight. It was the 11 that he was speaking to. They were all believers. They were the special men that God was training. And he said, just look at verse 31. Thus, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Let me just read you by a commentator. I thought it was excellent. It said, the language here means you will all stumble. It's really what the word offended means, to stumble. But it has some greater meaning than that. You will all stumble at my being taken, abused, and set at naught. They would stumble because of the arrest and then the ultimate torture of Christ. You will be ashamed to own me as a teacher and to acknowledge yourselves as my disciples. And my being betrayed will prove a snare to you all, so that you will be guilty of the sin of forsaking me and by your conduct of denying me. They would be offended. They would stumble, they would be ashamed, and they would forsake Christ. And he's telling them this. And what you're going to see is, in this passage, how did they get there? I want you to understand this. It was prophesied that they would forsake him. But they didn't forsake him because it was prophesied. They forsook him because they weren't right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see some of those issues, very same issues we struggle with. If the truth be told, every believer in this room, the worst thing we could do is to be offended by our Savior, that we'd be ashamed of Him. We would forsake Him. Remember, I tell you this, what forsake means, right? Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's clear He would not walk away from us, but to forsake allows us to walk away from Him. But they allowed Jesus to walk away from them that night and go into the darkness in his arrest. They forsook him. They didn't hang there with him. And so they were offended. They were offended. This is dealing with believers. Believers that were offended because of Christ. Because of Christ. We'll talk about that. Now let's read the passage, and I'll try to read it uninterrupted. Some of you have helped me. You guys give me feedback, and I'll do that. So that's why I'm giving you the commentary ahead of time. So when I read the scriptures, I love this. Shut up, read the scriptures, and then preach. I'll try to do that. Verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go. After that, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Verse 34. Jesus said unto him, verily or truly, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I will not preach this morning on verse 38 and 39, the sorrow and the prayer of Jesus, which is then repeated in verse 42. I'll do that next week. But I wanted to give you a broad perspective of the issues that were going on with the apostles and with Peter in particular. Because you'll notice that Jesus in verse 40, he specifically said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? It was Peter that made the broad statements that he would never be offended because of Christ, and that he would die and never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the path to being offended by Christ. And they were offended, and so let me see, they were offended because of Christ. They were offended because of Christ. And so we've thought about this. I have three thoughts this morning. I'll put them up real quickly. Three thoughts, and we'll talk about them. And these are the same issues. It was not what they expected, not what we expected. We'll be offended. We'll be bothered. We create expectations of God. Let the Scriptures create expectations of God. And I do love this. I love the comment that you made this morning that Jonah knew how great and powerful the gospel was. Jonah knew how merciful and gracious God was. And we ought to have that faith, Todd. And so the next thing is not when we expect it, right? But we have to have patience and long-suffering. You see, we can be offended. Oh, Christian, you can be offended. Things will come into your life that you thought aren't supposed to come into the life of a believer. But I will tell you this, remember that song, remember the Scriptures. He has been faithful. Everything God does is the very best. When it's less than the very best, it's because we've messed it up. We've got to understand that. It is we will be offended because it wasn't what we expected. And I will tell you, these apostles had no idea what to expect. Jesus had been warning them. He'd been very blunt with them. I'm going to be crucified. Peter even rebuked him for that. He said, Not so, Lord. And then the Lord looked at him and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. And so it's not what you expect. If you just go on emotions and you go on expectations, or if you watch YouTube, you're not going to have a biblical perspective of God. Just watched a guy yesterday because it was influencing somebody I'm trying to help. He looked at him and said, God wants you to be healed, and if you're sick, that's not what God wants. Now, there could be sickness that could be chastisement of the Lord. Absolutely could be. But I'll tell you this, every one of us in this room is going to die. It's not going to be, you're not going to die because you're healthy. Right? He's so healthy that he died. No, you're going to die because something went wrong. Because overall, we're in a sin-cursed world, and if we all admit it, we've sinned. And you know what's killing you? You want to accelerate your death? Sin more. And so it's killing us. It's killing us, right? And so it's like, all of a sudden, if you expect everybody healed, then you're going to be one disappointed person. I think of your prayer request here, Sister Carla. Cancer, 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 cancer. We hate that word, don't we? And I think we can hate cancer because it's a result of sin. I'm not saying it's the result of that person's direct sin, but we know this. It's not the perfect world that God created, right? Cancer, it's one of the few words, one of the words we never want to hear. And so we hear it all the time, not what we expect. Not what we expect, not when we expect it. We have to be faithful to the Lord and know this, God is always true. Our labor's not in vain. We can trust Him. His word doesn't go out void. And I'm going to let God make sure He knows what that is. You know what? I better be careful that I don't have expectations that mean, what do I think it means when God's word won't go out void? I will tell you this, it won't. It won't come back empty. It won't come back vain. I will tell you, you know, the best thing I can do for somebody, the best thing I can do for you, Damien, you're born again, is to remind you of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we think the gospel is only for the saved? I will tell you this, Mark, if you forget how glorious it is, how wonderful it is to be saved, oh, what a blessing to be a child of God, then your life will go south. You need to be as fresh and as joyful and as focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ on the very day that you were saved. It's not just for the lost. You see, but if we create expectations, let the Bible create expectations, right? So I do. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The best thing we can do is share the truth of God's Word with somebody, and then we can watch God do a work. But it's just maybe not when we want. And the final thing is, we never really expected us to suffer. Easy to preach. Jesus said this. He said, if the master suffers, so will the servants. But when we suffer, somehow we're like, breaker. Did you forget me? No such thing. You see, and the apostles were going to suffer. They were going to suffer, but they were offended because of Christ. I do want you to understand this. They did forsake Him that night. And what changed their lives was the resurrection. They scattered until Christ was risen. So I want you to understand this. When the Bible talks about, he that denieth me, I will deny him before my Father, that's a lifelong denial. That's a denial of Christ, where you show me somebody that never talks about the gospel, never speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've most likely showed me somebody that's lost. Because that's what Romans 10:9 means, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, verse 10, make sure you get the order right. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, when with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you're saved, you confess. You tell everybody about Jesus. And I know this. When I say you tell everybody about Jesus, you at least want to. And we fail a lot, do we not? But I want you to remember this. It was a temporary thing. When they saw the resurrected Savior, they were never the same again. In fact, they rejoiced over suffering. They were all martyred. The only one that died a natural death was the Apostle John. And God used him to give us the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in 96 AD. All the others were martyred for Christ. Peter himself said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Savior. Crucify me upside down. And they did. This is a guy that denied Christ vehemently. We'll see that. He cursed. He said, oh, I can identify the world. And he used his mouth to say, see, no Christian speaks like that. And he seemed to be pretty convincing because they didn't ask him a fourth time. And so I want you to understand this. This is not a message that you should be discouraged with, that there is restoration. There is renewal with Christ. Do you love this? We'll get there when we get to the end of Matthew 28. I'll bleed over a little bit into John 21. John 21 is a glorious passage. And I want you to see this. You may have blown it as a Christian, but Jesus will restore you. Jesus will do what's right. Will you turn to Him? I want you to understand this. Peter denied Him three times. And Peter, when he said in John 21, I go a-fishing, I think what he's saying is, I blew it. I'm disqualified. I'm just going to go do what I know to do. And the Lord had been resurrected for some time, and Peter had seen Him. But Jesus had never addressed the issue, the elephant in the room, right? He never talked to Peter about it. It's Peter just, I'm unworthy. And he says, Peter, do you love me? He did it three times. And he told Peter how he was going to die. And you know, Peter's just, it's good, but he restored Peter. I want you to know this. You may have forsaken the Lord, if you really believe that you're a Christian, then you know what? Just humble yourself before the Lord and say, help me do what's right. You can't change yesterday. if you gave me 5 minutes of my life, I think my life would be so much better, because if I divided it up into 10-second increments, you think, Brother Lee? It just ain't real like that, is it? I've many times wished it was. I said, oh, my life could be gloriously better. And I could eliminate, you know, you'd have, what, 6 times 5? That's 30 things in my life I could eliminate. But I can't do that. Would you do that? I would eliminate some things in my life. But you know what? The Lord wants me to embrace His forgiveness. Stop listening to those voices reminding me about my past. Embrace the Lord's forgiveness and begin to serve Him. So I want to tell you this. It's not going to be a huge part of this, because what the message is about this morning, how do you get where you're like Peter and like all the other apostles? How do you get there? That's the crux of this message. But I do want to tell you this. Yes, Christians, we can be offended because of Christ. We can be ashamed of Him. We can forsake Him. He can be a stumbling block to us. Christ is never the stumbling block, but we stumble because we didn't think that what was going to happen would happen. Oh, Christian, I want to learn from this passage, and I want to see. So now let's look at Peter's issues. Peter's issues, first thing is he rejected Christ's words. Look at verse 33. Jesus told them, look at verse 31 and 32, He said, all ye shall be offended because of Me this night. If they knew that Jesus, everything He says is the absolute truth. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. If you want in your Bibles, if it's not in there, Zechariah 13:7 is the prophetic verse of that. I'll just read Zechariah 13:7. This is how you can find messianic passages in the Old Testament, because Jesus tells us they were. It says in Zechariah 13:7, awake, O sword, against My shepherd, and against the man that is My fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn My hand upon the little ones. That's Zechariah 13:7. So Jesus says in verse 31, all ye shall be offended because of Me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto Him, though all men, He said, what is He saying? You're wrong, Jesus. See, this is the issue. He said, you're wrong. And then Jesus looked at him in verse 34, and He goes, truly, I'm going to give you one more example. I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny Me thrice. And Peter said, you're wrong, Jesus. You see, I want to tell you this. It's the most important thing. I am baffled. I was told this week, this is crazy. And I went and watched this guy that this person was being influenced by. I heard it last night with my own ears. There's this false preacher on YouTube. And here's what he said. And so he must say it all the time, because this guy was repeating it. He said, you know those people that know the Bible? Those are the ones you got to be careful of. Those are the Pharisees. I want you to understand this. The Pharisees didn't know the Bible. They knew the rules. Now, I want to tell you this. It's not about just knowing the Bible. It's about knowing it that it might change us, that we might love and honor the Lord Jesus Christ more. So it's not about knowing. I just want you to be clear about that. But here's what he said. This guy said this. He said, oh, you know, all those people that know the Bible? He said, those are the people that are doing terrible things in the basement of the church. And he went and said terrible things. Because when I heard it earlier this week from this person I'm trying to help, it's like this. They said, I said, I want to help you know the Bible. And he said, God doesn't care what I know. I said, yes, He does. He said, all He cares about is the gospel. And I said, well, I said, He sure could have made it a smaller book then. I do believe the gospel is threaded throughout the entire Bible. There's no doubt about it. It is the focus. It's the priority. The Lord Jesus Christ is the focus and priority. But I'll tell you this. Aren't you glad that He did tell us how He wants us to live after we're saved? I'm glad. That's good. And so, goofy things, silly things. I want you to understand this. It's the words of Christ matter. And it's all of His words, just not the red ones. Because sometimes when I say that, you're like, I know there's guys out there that go, I only focus on the red ones. I'm like, oh, wow. It makes me want to just eliminate the rad. I do like to know when Jesus is speaking, but guess what? Jesus is speaking when it's in black. Just so you know. Right? And so it's the entire Bible. I want to show you this. if you reject God's words, you're going to see the outcome at the end. It all begins with this. And beg God, right? Beg God. And I know this. We are in a video age. I told him, stop watching videos and start studying the Bible. Stop watching videos. I believe this. We could harness hundreds of hours every week if we all, including your pastor, stopped watching videos and I just buried myself in the Word of God. And I really wanted to know what the Bible said, and I really wanted to study it, and I wanted to get a hold of my heart so that I will live like people I read about. You ever read about these people? I'm like, I don't know anybody like that. And I want to be like that, but I'm telling you, it's focus and dedication, and it starts with the words of Christ. It starts with the Word of God. Peter said, no, 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 I don't like what you're saying. I tell you this, I love this. I'm so glad that just I know there's a God. And if I know there's a God, then he wants me to know who he is. And if that God's big enough to create this universe, he's surely big enough to give me a book that he can preserve. And so I want you to know this. Have comfort in that. Oh yeah, study the Bible. There's going to be confusing parts in it, but never doubt it. I will tell you, that's exactly where Satan will start in your heart. Exactly where he started in the garden. Yea, hath God said. I want to tell you this. We have the perfect, perfect Bible that's been preserved today. I want you to know that. Okay, I want you to understand that. And I'll tell you this, it is when you begin to doubt that, and I want you to study it. I want you to investigate it. I want you to find out. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Just mark it down and read that later. And if we don't have the perfect word of God today, God's a liar. Okay? So then what it is I want to know this book. If you made that your life's mission, you can know it. You can know the word of God. He rejected the words of Christ. That's where it started. Second, he was impressed with himself. Look, folks, the quietest among us is you can be impressed with yourself and not have my personality. Right? I've been told more times than I can think, and I need to take it at heart. There's no place for this. I've had people tell me, you are so arrogant. And I'm not just here to resist that. What I need to do is I need to say, well, that's not good. If you're right, that's not good. Is it ever good to be arrogant? It's not good to be arrogant. I don't even think it's good to be self-confident. I need to be Christ-confident. I tell you, it's not good. And so I struggle. You struggle. You know what? I love being a man. I so love being a man. I mean, I just love being a man. I know, yes, hey, yeah, hey, it's not bad to be a woman, but if you're a man, you better be glad you're a man, right? And so I like that. So I had my niece for Thanksgiving, so I'll just tell you my niece. I didn't even know there was controversy. I was telling them a little story. And I'm telling you, men and women are equal before the Lord, before I make people mad here. Women are equal before the Lord, but he created us to be different, right? So I happen to mention this. If I have a need for a policeman, I don't want a police woman. Okay, now, man, you guys. Okay, I'm not talking, I'm just talking this. I want somebody that says, how can I help you? It's so good, right? I'm going to be able to put a whooping on us. And they say they have a gun. Just YouTube videos. Police woman being beat up by guys. It's not a good scene. So I made that comment. And man alive, it was just like, what? It's just like, no, I'm not anti-woman. I'm pro-woman. I got a wife and two daughters. And have you ever heard me talk about Elia? I mean, there's nothing better. And but it is, it's you know this? I have to be careful that I'm not so into my manhood that I forget that I can do nothing without him. You see, I better not be independent. I better be dependent on the Lord. And I love being a man, but I will tell you this, it better not be independent of the Lord. That's an issue with me. You've spent enough time with me that you know that. I want to be a man of God. And it's not just a preacher. All of you men can be men of God. All of you women can be women of God. I want to stand for him. I want to live for him. But I'll tell you, you know what gets in the way, Damien? Me. You know why? We get impressed with ourselves. We'll find some way to get impressed with ourselves. And that was the issue. That was the issue with Peter. I mean, can you imagine this? This is pretty audacious. Because he's with the 11, and he says, though all men, he's only got 10 other men with him that night, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Just listen to a few scriptures. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Do you understand the devil's the great deceiver? I know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We can have victory in Christ, and we can. But I'll tell you, the deceiver will have you take your eyes off Christ and put your eyes on yourself. How should the apostles have responded? They should have responded and said, oh Lord, please, how can we not be part of this? We don't want to forsake you. We want to honor you. We don't want to be offended. Oh God, please, you're right. I'm a flake. If it's up to me, I will be offended because of you. But they didn't. Peter. They lacked humility. Maybe you say it's the same thing. I think being impressed with ourselves and lacking humility, I know they're interrelated, but I want to tell you this. Humility is at the core of our walk with Christ. It's submission, it's yielding, it's humility, humbling ourselves before the Lord. Just listen to a few verses. You're familiar with them. Jesus in Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Just a few verses later, James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We got to be, don't you lift us up. Let the Lord lift me. I tell you this. Don't tell me I preached a good message. I promise you, you'll destroy me. I tell people this. This will stun you. Okay, this will stun you when I'm going to tell you this. This is why I tell you not to do this. You know, I think I'm a good preacher. You're like, that is ridiculous. And so you know what? What I have to do is say, it doesn't matter. If I'm a good preacher, it's only because of the Lord. And I'll tell you this, what I need to do is, I don't need other people to tell me I'm a good preacher. I'm like, go on. Right? I mean it with all my heart. You know what? You love me. You love me. And let's obey the Lord together. That'll be the greatest victory. There's no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. And what I better understand is God used me just like he did Jonah. And it's not because of my great oratory, my great speech, my great preaching. It's because of the truth that'll set you free, not Steve Hall's delivery of it. So I promise you this. I don't think I've ever said that before, the congregation before, that I think I'm a good preacher. You're like, I knew it. He's just ridiculous. This guy is just full of himself. You pray for me. I don't want to be full of myself. It's sin. You understand that? It's sin that I would put confidence in my flesh, that I would put confidence. You know what? I want to be confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. I really don't care about that stuff, but I do care about that stuff. You understand that? I'm a schizophrenic, and so are you if you're born again, right? And so we need humility. I've got to humble myself before the Lord. I try to every time before I come into the pulpit. I try, and I don't know if I believe it. I'll say, Lord, I can do nothing without you. Please, please help me believe this. Help me believe that I can't. This morning, it was just an interesting morning. You heard me pray it before I opened the service. I got to be pumped up and excited to come into the pulpit. I'm not a charismatic. But I want to be excited. If I'm not excited, you guys, you know what the Bible says, we're bent to backsliding. You know what? If I wrote the Bible, I'd say, they're bent to boredom. Christians go to church and like, oh, go to sleep. You know, it's like, we're bent to boredom. So I don't want to do that. But this morning, it was just interesting. I talked to the Lord about it. I get here early. I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not sure what's wrong. I said, I don't know of any sin that I have unconfessed. And of course, there's always... that I said, I think I've confessed that. I think I've tried to make it right with you. Tried to come to church right with my wife. You know, 1 Peter 3:7. You know, my prayers will be hindered if I don't treat her with grace and honor. And so it bothers me. I said, Lord, this is super exciting. This passage is super exciting. But I need the Lord. And so I want to come to the pulpit absolutely believing that I can do nothing unless God's here. I want God to move. We need the power of God. That's what we need. That's absolutely what we need. But I'll tell you this, it won't come from somebody that's full of themselves, somebody that's impressed with themselves, and somebody that doesn't have humility. And you pray for me. And I know this. You see, God's never going to humiliate someone. He's not. That's not God. I do beg God. I say, God, help me to humble myself. But if I don't, will you humble me? Because I know this. I can do nothing if I have the spirit of Peter. This isn't me picking on Peter. He was used of God greatly. Isn't that good? Isn't that good that you can be restored? But the path of Peter, he rejected Christ's words. He was impressed with himself. He lacked humility. And then he influenced others. He influenced others to rebuke Christ. Look at this. Look at verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee. And I think when Peter cut off Malchus's ear, well, I think he was left-handed, by the way. Anyway, I've told you that before, because that's the only way you could cut off his right ear and not cut his head off. Because if you're right-handed, you'd be like, you know, so I don't know, maybe he wasn't left-handed, but yeah, I think he was left-handed, and I think he was such a bad swordsman, I think he was trying to cut his head off. And he cut his ear off, his right ear, right, the Bible tells us, because the Lord's interested in the detail. And Peter, when I think he cut Malchus's ear off, that was semi-suicide. And he was going to prove to the Lord, I'm going down with you. And he didn't know the Lord had a different plan. Malchus, I'm telling you this, he was like a $6 million man. He's like, I hear yonder a fly on the mountain. Right? I mean, you talk about that ear. Ain't no ear like that in the history of mankind. Maybe Adam had that kind of hearing. But when the Lord heals, it's like, oh. Hey, can you guys be quiet? I can hear everything you're saying. But the Lord had a different plan. Peter said here, he said, though I should die with you. He was trying to put his actions where his heart was. Yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, all the disciples. You understand this? When I lack humility, when I'm impressed with myself, when I'm full of myself, when I don't listen to the Lord, I impact you. I impact you. I impact you. I impact you. I impact my family. And you know what? That's horrible. The fact that they all said, that's right. Jesus. Peter's right. You're wrong. If I ever disagree with the Bible, I'm wrong. God's right. Every false teacher says that, though. What good does that get me? Nothing. You got to study the Bible. It's my pastor, he just says, don't believe him. If he says something different in the Bible, can you quote the 66 books in the Bible? No, but I trust my pastor. Being able to quote the 66 books of the Bible doesn't mean you know anything. But I'll tell you this, you probably ought to memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. You know, that'd be a good start. You can do that on one drive to work, the New Testament. And so he influenced others to rebuke him. Then I want you to see this. He was not sensitive to the great sorrow of the Lord. Look at this in verse 37 and 38. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. So he took this inner circle of Peter, James, and John. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. There's no evidence that the Lord was trying to keep this from them. I think it was unbelievably evident. It was unbelievably clear that the Lord Jesus Christ was about to, he was entering into this time of overwhelming pressure as the weight of the world's sin was begin to be put upon him. Not quite yet, but it was the beginning process. And he says, and it says in verse 37, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, in case they missed it, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. You know what's sad? It's when I'm full of myself, when I'm full of pride, when I don't listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I'm influencing others wrong, I don't see other people's needs. It's all about Steve. It's all about me. It's all about my problems. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about what happened to me? And I'm not saying that anytime you say those words, if you're wrong. But I'll tell you this. You know why God saved us? So that I could be alert to other people's problems. And you know the best therapy for my problems is stop thinking about them and get involved with other people's problems. And you know when you get involved in other people's problems, you'll find out your problems aren't that big. And so the reality is we get full of ourselves. He didn't notice God was sorrowful. I'll tell you, this is the path when we're offended in Christ. We have lost our usefulness. do love this, there's restoration. But we better understand these points. And yes, you better believe. I believe this may apply to me more than you, because maybe I do struggle with pride. I don't want to struggle with pride. I've poured out my heart before the Lord. I've asked Him. I said, oh God, would You use us and let us be puffed up? I want Him to use us. I said, then just don't tell me. Just use us. I want God to use us. I don't care about how many rear ends are in the seats. I want God to be glorified. But you know what I'm afraid of? And you pray for me. That all of a sudden, you know, it's just silly that we'd get full of ourselves for a work of God. You know what? I'll say this because I haven't thought about this. I'd rather be like Jonah and miss it than get puffed up about it. I don't want to be like Jonah for sure and miss the great blessings and the great intervention of God, but I'd rather be like Jonah than taking credit for it. And I don't want to be like Jonah, but I don't want to be taking credit for anything that God does. I can't save one person. It's a supernatural work of God, but I sure can give the atomic bomb that will lead to people's salvation, and that's the gospel. So I'm telling you this, it is this message, and I know you say, stop preaching to yourself. I pray that God will use it in your heart. I want to be used of God, but if I'm offended by the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm full of myself, then that'll just cause me not to see other people's needs. I want to see this. This is the heart of it. You don't listen to His words, you won't obey. Look at verse 40 and 41. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And I believe that was sinful. I don't think sleep is wrong, but He sure rebuked them. And He said unto Peter, and it was specific to Peter, because Peter was the big shot. Peter's the big shot that said, I will never be offended, and I will never deny You. He said unto Peter, verse 40, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We don't listen to the words of Christ when we're full of ourselves. We won't obey. We won't obey. Jesus said, just 1 hour. Just 1 hour. You know, I've done this before. I used to do this before as a preacher. If I came into church and I thought I was going to fall asleep, I'd stand. I was always nervous and it never happened. I thought every one time in the middle of the service, he'd be like, boom! Oh, wow! Steve fell asleep standing. You know, but it never happened. So I'm going to try to watch and pray. I'm going to stand here. You know? And now tonight, you know, everybody be standing for the service. So, no, that's not what I'm asking for. But it's this. I want to obey. See, it goes back to this. Am I listening to the words of Christ? Am I humbling myself before Him? Am I emptying myself of me? I must decrease, He must increase. Well, we can be delusional. Have I been concerned about the needs of others? What about my prayer life? Do I ever pray for anybody else? Am I ever concerned about people that I haven't seen in a while? Am I ever praying for the multitude of prayer requests that we have across our congregation? That would indicate to me if I'm really sensitive to the needs of others. Right? So there are good barometers for me to say, am I? Because you know what's coming next? Disobedience, Jacob. If I don't listen to Him, I get full of myself, and it's manifest that I don't really care about people, suddenly it'll be disobedience. This was grave disobedience. I'm telling you this, it doesn't have to be what you would call grave disobedience, but dishonoring Christ, there's nothing worse than that. I want you to understand that. And the final thing that I have here, the reason why I went to verse 41, I wanted you to see this. There's seven things. Not that I was trying to get seven. But He says this in verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can you just understand the mercy of Christ's statement there? He knew their heart. He knew they were saved. And so this is important. If you're saved, He has given you a new heart. I just want you to know that. And so then you may be sitting there, you're so frustrated, you're saying, oh, you know, He said the Spirit is willing, and so every believer in here, you ought to be willing. but the flesh is weak. And so you see the wording I used, underestimating the power or the weakness of the flesh. What it means by weakness is it doesn't mean the flesh is like, I don't know, I can sin. No, the weakness of the flesh is we haven't been so strong in the spirit that we can overcome the flesh. The weakness of the flesh is the power of the flesh. And so I want you to know this. It's this. That was Peter's issue. Though all will be offended, yet will I not. Peter was speaking some truth because the real Peter would not forsake the Lord. But that stinking flesh, he underestimated. I want to tell you, we got to mortify the flesh every day. I will tell you this passage is meaningful to me. I do not want to spend my life being useless for God. Do you understand this? I can preach from this pulpit 3 times a week and be useless for the kingdom. Now, God may use it because of his mercy and grace, because of his goodness. But I'll tell you this, if I'm full of myself, if I don't listen to his words, if I'm not obedient, and I underestimate the flesh, I can do kingdom work and be useless for the kingdom of God. You understand that? This is a big deal for me. But I'll finish with this, and I think it'll have a lot to do with tonight's message. What changed everything? The resurrection. I want you to understand this. We must stay focused on Christ. I know what happens. It's been a long time since I've just been a church member. But I remember this. It's been a long time since I've been a church member that didn't teach Sunday school. And so, but I remember before I was a pastor, I'd get to those Saturdays. Some of you Sunday school teachers, I'd get to those Saturdays and be like, whoa, I cannot do anything today. I'm going to be in the Bible. And then Saturday just get swallowed up and you're like, it's 11 p.m. And so Sunday school teachers can be that way. Is that how you came in today? 7 days went super fast. It just, it's gone. You weren't useful for the kingdom. You know what? The Lord understands. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Will we turn to him? And never tire of turning to the Never, ever tire of turning to him. Beg him that he would give us repentance like we read about this morning in chapter 2, what we reviewed from last week. That we would have repentance that would result in change of behavior, right? God is that merciful. Oh, I don't know if there's anything worse than being offended because of Christ. Father,